If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Happy New Year. Welcome back to another year of Podcast Unlocked. It is IGN's weekly Xbox show. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. It is episode 626. We kick off the year with one of my favorite things, a palindrome. I am joined by my usual companions and compatriots here from currently San Francisco, California, or the Bay Area at least. Stella Chung, good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I love starting with palindromes. I was like, wait, we're coming out the gate swinging. I love this.
Yes, it's going to be a good year. And from down in the greater Los Angeles area, Destin Legarry. Happy New Year, my friend.
Bam! Happy New Year, everybody. I hope everyone's having a wonderful start to 2024.
Yeah, so far so good for me. I played not enough of Alan Wake 2 because I thought, all right, I'm going to finish it for sure. And I did not. I was doing so much family stuff every day that I didn't end up getting as much gaming time as I would have maybe liked. But family time's good, so I'm not actually complaining. But I know I'm so close to the end. I'm loving this game so much. And I think after this, for me, I'm going to jump headfirst into Baldur's Gate 3. Because for me, when I was actually looking the other day at the release schedule for games for the next couple months, January, February. And not that there's not big stuff. I mean, Tekken 8's in there. I'm not really a fighting game guy. And Suicide Squad's in there. That I'm pessimistic on for now. We'll see what happens when I get to actually play it. But there's not a lot coming out for me, so I think I'm going headfirst for Baldur's Gate 3 on Xbox after this. So, Stella, how about you? Did you play any games over the break? Are you looking forward to anything coming up here early in the new year?
I didn't. So I was trying to finish some games that I had, actually, but it's bad because I actually bought Red Dead Redemption 2 on the Steam sale. So I'm just like, oh, great, another game for the backlog. But I did play more Baldur's Gate. I'm playing on the hardest difficulty, which is like permadeath. But also, I did play some of the Call of Duty Warzone and also multiplayer Christmas, the holiday event. It was really fun. I really liked it. So that's what I kind of played for the rest of my vacation. And, you know, yeah, family stuff, friend stuff. I was cooking a lot. So in between, I was getting in some, what is it called? Santa's Sleigh Ground. So.
Nice. Love it. Glad to hear it. Destin, how about you? You've got two very young ones running around at home. Were you able to find any gaming time? Did you have a good break? Play any games?
Yeah, I don't usually talk about my kids on public stuff, aww, but Nate just started, like, he's starting to walk. So he'll take a few steps now and everything, which means it's like a little bit scary, but he's also getting easier at the same time. So I get a little bit more gaming time these days, and I've been playing Path of Exile, actually. So I've been trying to get into that. I'm level 10, having a good time. I decided to roll a witch. I am very, very excited about Path of Exile 2. So I want to make sure I'm not going in as a complete novice and I get a little bit of experience with the original. So, yeah. And of course, tons of Marvel Snap. I play too much Marvel Snap. Yeah. Path of Exile, very, very fun, especially once you get to like high level play. It gets pretty nutty. Brian Malkowitz on staff plays a ton. I'll have to ask him for some tips, but yeah. And then Path 2 is looking real good also.
I mean, it's arguably the next game in that genre after Diablo, right? It's like Diablo and then Path of Exile, at least in terms of popularity. I'm not going to put any kind of quality designation on it, but you know, yeah. I certainly love Diablo, but yeah, Path has been going strong, getting continued expansions and updates for many years now. And you're right, Path of Exile 2 is coming around. We had a preview of it not too long ago.
Yeah, I think it was late last year. And during Gamescom, I actually got to talk with the creators of Path of Exile a little bit. So that was really, really neat. It was sort of a surprise. I don't think it was you emailed me or something. They're like, hey, you know the Path team's there, right? So I was like, let's go get some gameplay of the new characters in Path 2. And we got them on the set for the live show. And looking forward to playing more. That guy.
That's crazy. You started with the witch though, because like I tried to start with her like years ago, and
yeah,
I think my friends were telling me like, oh, that's like the hardest class you could start with.
Oh, really? I thought it was more of a beginner friendly one, but like for that class, I basically wanted to do corpse explosion. So I'm raising corpses, and I got three corpses running around with me, and then I detonate the dead bodies that they create. And when the corpses kill things, they create ethereal souls. So like I'm already getting into the like the intimidating skill tree stuff, and I'm like, oh, there's so much potential here. I am very, very stoked to see where this build ends up going from here. I don't mean to make it a Path of Exile episode, but
I asked you what you were playing.
I believe it's on console also, but obviously I'm playing on PC, of course, because I'm a PC nerd a bit.
That's okay. We allow that here in the Xbox world. Let's dive in. So I will be honest with the audience, as we always are. It's been a little quiet on the Xbox news front to start the year because it wasn't just us that was on holiday break. All of Microsoft was too. So there's not a lot of news, not a lot of activity going on. So I thought we would just kind of take a look, not your sort of generic general, like, okay, well, what's coming to Xbox in 2024? Wanted to focus this a little bit on some different categories. So what to expect from Xbox in 2024? I've got six categories. So we've got the lock them in category. We'll start there. The maybe category, the probably too early category, expected announcements, possible announcements, and shoulder shrug emoji for those of you who are listening on audio and can't see me doing an actual shrug at the moment. So let's start here. Let's start, of course, with lock them in. These are the games that we are extraordinarily confident that we will be playing or will have played in 1 year's time. Destin, of this group, I'm going to let you just pick one to start with whichever is sort of your most anticipated of this group, and we will touch on all of them.
Okay, if I'm being totally honest, my most anticipated, it's still Hellblade 2. The level of fidelity with that game is so, so impressive. I cannot wait to see how they've evolved the game and evolved how it plays. How has Senua changed as a person? What is she tackling now? Because it seems like she's the leader of this group and she has to wrestle with how her decisions affect the people around her and what sort of consequences happen based off of her choices. This showcase that was presented during the Game Awards blew me away. It blew everybody away. We even got to see a peek at combat. There was an interview from back in 2022 where they talked about how combat is getting an overhaul, and it was one of the more basic aspects of the original Hellblade. So I am really, really stoked to see if they've improved it drastically from that one. And I'll be interested to see if they're still going to do the puzzle thing or if it's going to be more of a linear storytelling experience. It looks phenomenal. I think there's no denying that it looks phenomenal. How does the gameplay stack up is the next question.
Yeah. Well, Unreal Engine 5, what we've seen of it so far, I think it's going to be pretty difficult for an Unreal Engine 5 game to not look awesome. Of course, you know, you need talented artists on your development team to really take it to the next level, which clearly Ninja Theory has and has had for some time. But yeah, Hellblade 2 is certainly a great spot to start. You know, I was saying at the top that as soon as I feel like I've got one, maybe two nights of Alan Wake 2 left before I'm going to finish it. And then I said, well, then I'm going to dive into Baldur's Gate 3 because there's not a lot coming up that I'm super interested in. Maybe before diving into the 150-hour Baldur's Gate 3, I should take 6 hours, I think, was five, 6 hours,
it
and,
is
and
not
finally get
all.
Through it. Get through Hellblade 1, yeah.
Yeah, not long at all. Just, I do recommend using a guide. But yeah, it's pretty quick. And I think you'll be impressed. Definitely play with headphones. They even say at the beginning of the game, play with headphones. Highly recommend. If you haven't checked this out right now, it's on Game Pass. Go play it.
Yeah. I only ever play my Xbox with headphones, so check that box.
Yeah.
Stella, lock them in for 2024. Give me another game on this list that you're stoked for, and then we'll roll through the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, first, I want to say, if you're going to play through Hellblade, then I will also force myself to play it because it's in my library. So I'll play it, and then we can like discuss it as we're going through it. So I'll
play it again.
The book club. I like that. Let's do it.
Gaming club. Okay, cool. Perfect. Awesome. For me, probably Stalker 2, just because there's been so much around it that I didn't really think that I was into that sort of game, but then looking at it, I was like, oh no, this has a lot of elements that I think I could really get behind. And I know that their development has been a bit rocky, obviously with real life things coming into play, but I'm very excited to see what the team does with Stalker 2. And I mean, all the gameplay we've seen, it looks really cool, looks really dark. I don't like horror games, but I mean, it seems more on that survival aspect that I really, really like. So for me, that's definitely the game that I'm looking most forward to.
This might make you happy, Stella. So sorry, Ryan, I keep talking over you. This might make you happy, Stella. There's a lot of like Warzone type elements or Escape from Tarkov, mm-hmm. like with the inventory management and survival aspects. PUBG is another one that comes to mind. So if you're into that sort of stuff, you might find like an inkling of those games also sprinkled throughout, in addition to like the unique story.
Yeah, you know what it is? I loved DayZ back when it was even like just bare bones. Yeah. And I think that's kind of brought back a little bit of that feel, but with an actual story. And it looks great. Like it looks brought up to modern standards. So I'm I think that's kind of like my nostalgia for that, which is why I wanted the day before to be good, but we don't have to go into that.
Yeah, the less said about that, the better. That was one of 2023's most forgettable experiences, even though it came out right at the end of the year. We're just moving right on. Stalker 2. We should be hearing something from them soon, because back at Gamescom, they had in their own like press materials, they'd updated their release window to say Q1 2024. So we should be hearing something from that team very soon.
There's that rumored developer direct that's going to drop in January. The rumors are swirling today.
We'll see.
I would love that.
The developer, we've already talked about it. The developer direct last year went over so well that it would be a little surprising if Microsoft didn't do a developer direct either this month or potentially sometime in February. So yeah, we'll be keeping an ear out for that. So the other games that I've got in the lock 'em in category here for what to expect from Xbox in 2024, the other sort of big AAA, quote unquote AAA stuff, is Avowed, which we've said this before, I know, but if you play games on Xbox, you are at this point basically guaranteed to get a AAA exclusive role-playing game onto Game Pass, not just the platform, but onto Game Pass too, for the next like several years. Avowed this year, and then you know sometime they'll probably come out at least once a year. You've got, of course, Fable is probably a little further out. We'll talk about that in a minute, but Clockwork Revolution is in there. And there are Elder Scrolls 6 is definitely much further out on the horizon, but there are The Outer Worlds 2. So there are a number of good RPGs on the way, and Avowed is going to be the one for this year. And yeah, I know much was said and about the art style change here and how it definitely does not look the same as the original concept trailer that we got, but it's Obsidian. These guys have not missed in quite some time. And the fact that it's not a 150-hour role-playing game is actually, it makes it more appealing to me, a dad who doesn't have quite as much time to game as I did in my 20s. But yeah, can't wait to see what this is all about.
I hope we get more games that are sort of in that sweet spot. I think Miles Morales, while it was short, obviously it was a fantastic Spider-Man game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't like it when games are made longer and sort of padded out with poor side quests or just grindy parts.
Yeah, where it's filler.
Filler. Like, don't throttle me by making me level up or something to do the next mission or go do a bunch of side quest nonsense that I don't really want to do when I'm really engrossed in the main story. Like, if I want to mainline the story, let me mainline the story. And if I want to do the side quest stuff, let me do that. And I think the design philosophies behind a game like Spider-Man Miles Morales were really, really smart. And I was really happy to hear the Obsidian team say, we're going for a more story-focused experience here and not so much like a Elder Scrolls level of immersion. Sure, you could play it for more, but I was happy to hear that change in direction and tone.
Yeah, I mean, and the Outer Worlds was the same way, right? And nobody complained about the Outer Worlds being a short game. Like, the writing was super strong in that game. It was just a great game to play, so... also on the lock 'em in list, I've got Flight Sim 24. It's in the name, 2024. So
yeah,
hopefully that one's coming out this year. I also have Call of Duty Black Ops Gulf War on this list, which is, even though it's technically an unannounced game, this has leaked previously. It would be a bigger shock to not get a Call of Duty game in the fall.
I would argue Destin. That they can't delay it because of the contract.
Yeah,
the contracts.
Well, I mean, who knows what still applies as Microsoft is now in full ownership control. But yeah, we are getting the next Black Ops. It's set in the Gulf War. Treyarch's doing it. They've had an extra year, so Sledgehammer just had less time to make Modern Warfare 3. It didn't really turn out that well in most people's opinion, but we'll see what Treyarch's been delivering good stuff in the Call of Duty franchise for a while. So this will be the first quote unquote proper new Call of Duty game since Microsoft took over. We can lock that in for late October, maybe early November on that one. And then the only other one, of the bigger stuff, there's smaller stuff like 33 Immortals. I know there's going to be in the comments, like, what about this little game and this little game? All well and good, but I want to move the segment along, so we're not talking quite all day. But the one I did want to mention, even though it is a smaller game, I think it's more notable. It's been featured prominently in Jeff Keighley's showcases and Microsoft showcases, and that game is Replaced. We've talked about it on this podcast before. Our friend Paris Lilly has been standing for that one for a while, and I'm right there with him. It's this retro-themed, you know, pixel art, cyberpunk-type action-adventure. It looks awesome, and that's another, as we've said before, Ukrainian developer who has had to contend with some serious real-life things to get this game done in a way that it can be done properly and keep everybody safe and healthy and secure. So this should be the year for Replaced, and I'm really, really stoked for that one. That's probably my personal number one quote unquote indie game that I'm looking forward to this year is Replaced. Can't wait to check it out. We move to the maybe category. I've only got two games in this list. If either of you want to argue for another game that should either be bumped down to the maybe list or moved up to it, I will welcome that.
One in your maybe list is technically confirmed for 2024, but I agree because the developer in question often lets stuff slide.
Go ahead.
Ark 2. Ark 2 was supposed to be 2023. So we'll see what happens with that one, but I get why you put it in maybe.
Yeah. We haven't really seen it yet. You're right. There have been developer updates. We've heard from the team. From Studio Wildcard, I believe, is the studio on that one. But yes, they also delayed the remake of the last one, which I'm blanking on the name of it.
It's Survival Evolved.
Thank you. Yes.
Is it Survival Evolved or Ascended? Or was Ascended the first one? And then mixed them up.
Survival. Wait. Now you've got.
Hold on.
I think Stella's right.
I'm pretty sure there was maybe it's DLC that we're thinking about. Hold on. I'm going to look this up right now.
All right.
Well, I think Ryan, go ahead. Yeah.
Survival Evolved is the
audience knows
what we're
talking about.
Ascended was the first one. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, dates have not been the greatest with that studio, and that's okay. Like take the time, make the game, take the time you need to make the game as awesome as it can be. It's not a complaint, but I think it's fair to put this one in the maybe category for 2024. Now, Stella, the other maybe game for this year, what do you want this game to be?
Wait, that was right. Survival Evolved is the first one.
Evolved is the first. Yeah, I just saw the trailer. So it's Survival Ascended is the new. The one I played was Survival Ascended.
That's a great
game. It looks awesome. It's glitchy as heck. The community is all mad about it because they got rid of some stuff. A bunch of drama.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indiana Jones. Stella, talk to me.
Indiana Jones?
We'll see it this year. What do you say?
I think we get a better look at it this year. I don't think we'll get the game this year. Also, I know we had that argument. I forget where we stood on first person or third person for this.
For her?
Because I know. Indiana Jones. Yeah. So, I think the more I think about it, I mean, a third person makes sense. Because you want to see the character, right?
I think, despite the studio's history of making nothing but first-person games, I agree with you, Stella. I think there's just no way that they would do a first-person indie game. But I would love to see it. Like, I would love to see a first-person take on indie. So if that's what it turns out to be, I'll be thrilled. But I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be a third-person game.
The rumor is that it switches between both first and third-person.
That would make sense, too.
That could be cool. Yeah, I think we get an announcement, probably not a more in-depth look, because we only got that teaser trailer, right? Like, that's all we got.
Yep.
Yeah.
we've not seen gameplay yet. We don't know.
Yeah.
We really don't know anything. We don't even have the title. We don't know what the game's actually called.
We know it's exclusive.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we know basically its existence is confirmed, but that's it. We know nothing else about it. My hope is that this makes it out. You know, maybe this is one of the big fall games for Microsoft this year, just as like Spider-Man 2 was a big fall game for Sony this past year, because it's been in development for a while. The last full-blown, like complete game release from Machine Games was back in 2017, and then they did the DLC with the twin kids, the twin girls, whose name escapes me, a couple years after that. So, and generally DLCs, expansions like that don't have the full team working on them. Usually it's a chunk of the team. So it does seem like, it's definitely been a while. Is it time for this game to actually release? I hope so. We've seen from Bethesda before where they'll do a quick cycle, right? They'll formally announce and show gameplay. They could show that in June at the showcase, and they could ship that game in October or November. It's been done before by Bethesda, and I hope this is going to be the year that we do finally get to play the final version of Indiana Jones. Okay, the probably too early category. I have five games in here. I'll just list them off real quick, and then I'll go to Stella for her opinion on any one of them, or more, one or more of them. So in the probably too early category, I've got Blade, Fable, South of Midnight, Clockwork Revolution, and The Outer Worlds 2. Stella, do you agree that it's probably too early that we'll be that any of those games get released, and what are your thoughts on any of them?
definitely Blade, definitely South of Midnight, Clockwork Revolution. Yeah, probably that one as well. Fable, we got a decent look, but we weren't really sure if any of it was really gameplay. I know we speculated about that one section in the forest when we saw a little bit of the fighting mechanics that could possibly be early gameplay, but nothing was set.
It says in-engine on the trailer. In-engine,
yeah, right, yeah, exactly. So. But yeah, we were speculating that's what it could look like. But man, The Outer Worlds 2, we also haven't gotten anything about that. And I know we mentioned it earlier, but it's one of those short and sweet games that I was like, man, I want more. And the DLC for the first game was actually really cool too, because it was like a murder mystery thing. As much as I would love for like a December release for Outer Worlds 2, I think it's too early. I think I was speculating this last year when we talked about it. I was like, it would either be really late 2024 or early 2025, because that would kind of line up with the way that the previous one was announced and then rolled out. So I think it's a little too early for these titles, but it makes me sad because I love The Outer Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I would point to as well, not that this is impossible, but I just highly doubt that not just Microsoft, but I doubt that Obsidian would ship two of their own RPGs right on top of each other to kind of compete with each other for gamers' time and attention. So it does seem like, you know, if this is Avowed's year, there's no way it's going to be The Outer Worlds 2's year. So we'll see on that one.
They're very different. It's kind of like the argument of, are you a Fallout person or are you a Skyrim person? You know, I tend to be more sci-fi than high fantasy, which is weird because I got into Baldur's Gate, but that's different because it's D&D. But I mean, there's a way that it could work. But yeah, I agree. I think it would be a little bit weird for them to ship two really big games that people are looking forward to.
Destin, your thoughts on any of these five?
So I think Outer Worlds 2 is next year. I think Clockwork Revolution is like super early, just starting development. South of Midnight, I also think next year. Fable, it did say in-game footage, so I get that's gameplay, but like it's early, so it's likely to change, right? Blade is way out. Like Blade, they didn't even have the trailer timing synced up on all their channels. It's like later it came to the Xbox channel and there's all the conversations about like, why aren't you just confirming it's exclusive? It is, by the way, like there's no way that's going to go to PlayStation in my opinion. But yeah, Fable I think is further out. All these are further out. I think your assessment is dead on, and I think Stella's assessment is also.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on these, Destin, in terms of you know, which ones you think are next year and which ones are further out. It does Blade and Fable just seem much further out. South of Midnight, I mean, it has been a while since We Happy Few. I'll say that. Like it's there's a chance maybe that South of Midnight's further along than we know, and maybe we'll get some gameplay this year and get it released next year, but that one's a bit dicier. Yeah, I'm with you. Clockwork Revolution seems early as well, given that Wasteland 3, you know, Wasteland 3 wasn't that long ago, you know, meaning that In Exile hasn't necessarily been working full speed ahead on Clockwork Revolution for too long. And yeah, Outer Worlds 2 is probably at least next year, could be even further out, but yeah, all these probably too early to get any of them. This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go.
To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/UNLOCKD. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, expected announcements. Maybe this is definitely a category where the two of you might have stuff to add. I'm not sure, but the two that came to mind as things that I think are there, it's a very, very high chance they will be announced this year, are Doom Year Zero, or whatever id Software's next game is. I'm getting the Year Zero thing, of course, from the leaked court document from the FTC case, that from Microsoft's own lawyer accidentally uploading a bunch of roadmap stuff that had this game on it. It's an old document, though. It's possible that it is pivoted to something else, but it seems highly likely that id's going to do at least one more Doom game, since both 2016 and Eternal were fantastic. So it is just time. I know I'm a broken record at this point calling for the announcement of id's next thing. I've been wanting that for like a year and a half at this point, but this year they've got to at least announce it this year. And then the other one, Gears of War 6.
It's Coalition, time.
Yeah, Coalition told us
it's definitely like coming
3 years ago that they needed more time before they were going to announce anything. Well, it's now been a while. So, Stella, are you with me on that? Is this going to be the year that we at least get the Gears of War 6 announcement?
Yes, because December 24th, I saw this on Twitter. Benjamin Hugh, I'm sorry if I say that wrong. He's a level designer at Coalition Games. He retweeted the Gears of War tweet that said "Happy Holidays, Gears," and it said "See you in 2024." I mean,
yeah.
Like, come on, dude! Like, that's a giveaway. Yeah, we're getting something.
Could it just be an innocent "See you in 2024"? It could. But you're absolutely right, Stella. That social media managers at game developers know that the community is going to look, they're going to look into every little thing. Like, they're going to go all the way down any rabbit hole that you give them. So I'm with you. I think that's certainly a wink, wink that there's going to get, there's going to be an announcement this year.
They know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Exactly. Am I missing any? Cause we'll move on to the possible announcements next, but are either of you thinking that there's anything else that belongs on this list of games we should expect to get announced?
There's the one that I like to bring up from the Elder Scrolls Online team that has been in development for a very long time. They've publicly talked about it. There's tons of job posting about it. It's a new MMO, new IP. I think it's Project Kestrel is the code name, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. And that was also on the documents. We don't know what that is. The rumor is it's a Mandalorian MMO, but yeah, I don't know about that one, but whatever that project is, I would love to see. And separate from that, there was a Fallout remake, I believe, that I would love to see come to reality. I want it to be the first game. I really want them to remake the first game, honestly, because it's harder to play in modern day.
That would be I know you've called for that before, and I've
Castro Project.
No, the remake of Fallout 1.
Yeah,
which I think would be a super cool thing for Bethesda and Microsoft to do. That would require, I mean, a total ground up. You know, you'd be, because the original was, of course, a top down isometric game. You'd be going into a full AAA development cycle. Well, on that
well,
one.
Well, you would be, it'd be like what they did with Fallout 3, right? So you'd be taking everything from Fallout 1 and just use whatever the Starfield engine is and make the Fallout game. Or maybe the Fallout 4 engine. It's all the creation engine, right?
Yeah.
But it's just a newer version of it. So I would love for them to take that idea. The rumor was that it was Obsidian working on that, but then Obsidian came out with Clockwork Revolution, which I thought would have been the Fallout announcement. I think that would go tremendously well.
In Exile was Clockwork Revolution.
Sorry, In Exile. That was the rumor. In Exile was working on it, but we know what they're working on. And Obsidian is working on Avowed. And
well, there is one more thing, Destin, that you know, helps your theory here stand up, is that we do know from previous little mini announcements and job postings that In Exile is working on 2 Unreal Engine 5 role-playing games. One of them, Clockwork Revolution, has been announced. So the other game, you know, could be that. It is possible.
I'm holding on the hope. I'm going to hold that hope really tight that it's a Fallout 1 remake.
I think that'd be cool. I mean, that would definitely be a big, exciting announcement if indeed that is the route that they go down. All right. Possible announcements. So these definitely much less sure of. Would love to hear these. And in fact, I'm going to guess that either of you have at least something else to add to this pile, because, you know, we could go on with this all day, but I was trying to keep it in the fairly realistic category here so that we can hold ourselves accountable and our audience can hold us accountable by going back and looking back at this episode later in the year, see how we did. But under possible announcements, I have two announcements. Number one is Destin already started down this path with the leaked game list from the FTC case. And one of the projects in that that got my attention that I would be very happy to see, and I would love to dive back into this game, and that is a remaster of The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, my favorite Elder Scrolls game. So I think that's a possibility for this year. Not a guarantee, because we don't know if that project has continued or how far along it might be. So I think that's a possibility. And then the other one, no idea what it is, no idea what it would be called, but just looking at the calendar, it was 2021 for Psychonauts 2. We're now going into 2024. So, you know, come the June showcase, it'll have been about 3 years since Psychonauts 2 shipped. And so I'm thinking that a possible announcement, it could be whatever Double Fine's next game is. Stella, am I crazy?
No, I don't think so. Man, I'm just not familiar with Double Fine because I never played Psychonauts and I was never, it never really clicked with me. I know this is something that you really liked though.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like at least an announcement about the next like working title, I think that's something that should be coming next from them, because this, when did this launch? When did this release?
It was like August of 2021.
Okay.
And a lot of people loved it.
Well, it's game of the year nominee at the Game Awards that year.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the platforming style. I just wasn't really into this, but then I played, this actually kind of reminds me of It Takes Two, like that sort of platformer style. So maybe I wouldn't be against it, but yeah, I don't know. What is your dream project from Double Fine?
Something new from Tim Schafer's brain that my puny brain is incapable of coming up with. That's what I look for from Tim Schafer, because he's done that over and over again from Full Throttle to Grim Fandango, to of course the original Psychonauts, to, I mean, stacking was so great on Xbox Live Arcade back in the 360 days. Brutal Legend is the one. I know that's got a lot of, that's got like a cult following.
That yeah, one, that was going to be my pick, right?
that one never clicked with me because it's like secretly a strategy game and I'm not a big strategy guy. But I don't think we're going to get a Brutal Legend 2. I also don't think we're going to get Psychonauts 3 because I think it was the last time, it was either one or two appearances ago on this podcast from Tim Schafer, the last time or two that he was on here, we were pressing him about Banjo. I'm like, hey, would you guys do a Banjo now that it's all, you're in the family? And he, you know, in so many words said, no, we're after this. We want to just do our own new original thing. Somebody can go back and get the exact quote, but that in so many words, that's what he said. So I don't think whatever their next game is, it's not going to be Banjo and it's not going to be a third Psychonauts game. I think it's going to be something completely new and different. And I can't wait to see what Tim and the team cook up for us on that. Last category is shoulder shrug emoji. Kind of the WTF is going on with these games. Are they going to come out this year? Probably not. Are we going to hear a damn thing about them this year? Who knows? But I've got four games in this list. Three of them have had investigatively reported difficulties, just development difficulties. And that's not to say they're not going to end up shipping great games, not saying that at all, but these are games that have been reported to have some significant development hurdles. Three of them anyway. The fourth one is just a total, I guess I'll start with that one. It's Contraband. Does anybody even remember Contraband?
Because
it's only been announced once, Destin.
The trailer with the truck covered in mud and you steal stuff from the team that makes Just Cause. Yeah, I'm aware of what we know, which is nothing.
We know it's a co-op action adventure. That's it. Wait. That's all they told us. With that CG teaser, we have not seen gameplay. We don't know what on earth this game is. And we haven't heard from it. I believe it was, I'd have to go back and check. I actually don't have this in my notes. I think Contraband was in that 2020 showcase when Xbox was just showing their hand. Like, look, we know you guys are mad because we haven't shipped any exclusive games. So here's a bunch of what we're working on. And Contraband was one of them. And we haven't seen a darn thing from it since. And again, I'm not speaking ill of Avalanche. Take your time, make a great game. But it is fair to wonder after three, and I guess at this point, 3.5 years.
My hype level is zero for Contraband.
Yeah, as it should be,
I know nothing about it. I haven't seen gameplay. I don't even know what that trailer was trying to illustrate. Like, you steal stuff. I don't know, man.
Okay. It was 2021, not 2020. Yeah. So I was off, but still, it's now been 2.5 years since that just vague teaser. It's going to be at least three by the time we get to the June showcase, unless Contraband were to surprisingly show up in a developer direct if Microsoft does one this month, which I would guess that Contraband wouldn't be in a developer direct, only because the developer direct is probably going to focus on first party studios, which Avalanche is not. This is a third party exclusive, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. So that was definitely on the shoulder shrug emoji list. Then the other three are the aforementioned, troubled development games. Everwild, been a while since we've heard from that one.
That one they showed gameplay and like just nothing.
Twice. Yeah,
twice. It looked intriguing. Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, that's a unique idea. I'm interested. And then just nothing.
Yeah, it's it clearly, at least the what seemed clear to me from those two showings, and we've got one of them playing right now if you're watching us on video, thank you to our super producer, Red, is it seemed like it was borrowing probably the engine, the tech, but also the sort of general gameplay framework of Sea of Thieves, of being a co-op live service thing, but in a totally different, fantasy type realm, We'll have to see what the gameplay actually turns out to be. But this was reported to be kind of going back, I don't want to say to the drawing board, but they were going back under the hood to just do a bunch more extensive work on this. So are we going to see or hear anything from Everwild this year? I have no idea. I hope so. Rare's got a big hit on their hands with Sea of Thieves, and that's been awesome. But I'm really curious to see what Everwild actually ends up being. Another one on that list is State of Decay 3, which I'm like the hipster State of Decay fan. I liked it before it was cool. Back with the original game. Destin remembers when we were back in our old San Francisco office on Second Street. And yeah. I got this, I got an early build of this, and nobody knew who Undead Labs was. And I was like, this is amazing. It's like an actual, it's like a zombie role-playing game where it's really all about managing relationships of the survivors. And so yeah, we've been on the State of Decay train for a long time here at IGN, and we haven't seen anything really of substance from State of Decay 3 yet. Destin?
I've played a little bit of 1 and 2. I think you and I did co-op like way back in the day.
I'm sure we did.
And like did a little Let's Play or something. But yeah, I've played like an hour or two of the first one, hour or two of the second one. Just based off of the CG trailer, I would love it if it's a more isolated experience and they kind of change it up a little bit from what it's been with the first two. But the first two, I get the hook. The hook is very apparent early on. Like, you're building up your crew, you're trying to survive, you're trying to manage resources for your crew and make sure they're okay. Fend off, you know, zombie hordes that try and attack your location. I'm excited to see what happens next. But we haven't heard it. Was this 2020, Ryan, or was this 2021?
I will double check.
One of the first things they showed.
I will double check when I throw to Stella here, because I was just going to say, since Stella, you were talking about that you liked the early days of DayZ. I feel like as the host, I should assign you some homework of playing State of Decay 2, because I think you'd really like it, especially now that it's been patched, like it's been updated. Like State of Decay 2, I played it at launch and it was good. It was very good. And now it's been, you know, polished and added on to. I think you'd really like State of Decay 2, Stella.
Okay, so I should play 2?
Yeah, go with, okay. I mean, 1 is great, but just at this point in time, it's pretty old. So yeah, play 2.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at it and I was like, why have I never played this? I think it just kind of flew under my radar just because I was busy with other games, but it does look kind of perfect for what I'm looking for. Is 2 co-op as well? Is that what you guys played co-op?
Yeah, you can play co-op and it's awesome.
Okay. Great. Awesome. Yeah. All right, cool. Listen, if that's my homework, that's the easiest teacher ever. I will play this.
Well, Destin, I did double check. Thank you for flagging that. It was 2020 was the unveiling for State of Decay 3. So it's been a long road already at this point for that one. We did get a new trailer. There was one other trailer at some point along the way. Just see what year that was, but it was still, it wasn't gameplay.
There was another State of Decay. I'm pretty sure it was just the one.
Was it? Okay, hold on. Maybe I thought there was one other trailer, but
I don't remember seeing any others.
Maybe not. Anyway, point is, we haven't really seen anything from that game, and that's why it's in the shoulder shrug emoji category. There were some rumors that they were kind of back to the drawing board on that game, and it needed a lot more work, so we'll see what happens. And then the final game on this list, because we're already almost at time for this episode. And I do want to start. I want to make sure that we do trivia so we can get the year started on the right foot.
Yeah.
Real quick, Perfect Dark. Again, another one. Our own Rebecca Valentine did an awesome investigative report on this studio and how Crystal Dynamics, it's been a rough road. Crystal Dynamics has come in and really helped stabilize that whole development effort. And it is now on the right track. But it seems like it's probably going to be a while. So are we going to see anything from Perfect Dark this year? Who knows? I mean, it is. I think it's possible if it's far enough along since Crystal Dynamics came in that we get a trailer, but it's in the total, just maybe, who knows, category. All right. Hit us up in the comments, of course, if you think we missed any games that should be in one of these categories. Destin, you've got that last word.
Yeah, I would love Perfect Dark. Just show us some gameplay, show us anything, because like that studio, tons of departures. Crystal Dynamics is in the mix now. Square Enix is doing their whole new thing where they're using tons of AI in their projects. And
well, yeah, Crystal doesn't own Square anymore, remember? I mean, Square doesn't own Crystal Dynamics anymore.
Oh, all right. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they got sold off to...
You're right.
The Embracer Group, there it
is. That was a long time ago, right?
A year or two ago, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
They sold off basically their Western business and are just doubling down on their Japanese teams. Unlock Block Trivia. Destin is now our reigning champion. Congratulations, Destin. We've got just a couple minutes here, so we'll go through this quickly.
My son made my trophy this year.
Looks, nice.
Looks oh, great. It's so cute.
Yeah. That on the shelf. Yeah, next to the other trophies. So I wrote the question this week because the well is pretty dry. I need some good Xbox trivia questions from you, the audience. If I choose your question, you will get a nice shout out on the podcast. So if that is of interest to you, send me a good Xbox trivia question. Include your name, your gamer tag, if you'd like me to read that on the podcast. And don't forget 4 multiple choice answers and note the correct one in your email. And you can send that to unlocked@ign.com. So the question from me, kind of on the topic of all these Xbox first party studios and all these first party games that we're looking forward to this year: what game developer now owned by Microsoft once had an in-development game dropped by Microsoft? Was it InXile, Obsidian, Playground, or Double Fine? Stella, I will go to you first. So one of those 4 who has since been bought by Microsoft, obviously, once had a game in development that Microsoft was going to publish, and Microsoft dropped that game.
I have no idea. I'm going to say B, Obsidian.
Okay, Obsidian for you. Destin, any thoughts on this one?
So they were making it before they were bought?
Yes. And Microsoft dropped it, and then later, but down the road, they were purchased by Microsoft.
Oh, I'm thinking about that Fable MMO, and that would have been Playground, but maybe I'm mixing that up. I'll say InXile, because I just feel like that's the answer.
All right, well, we start the year with 0 points. Way to go. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I thought somebody was going to get this. The answer was Double Fine, the original Psychonauts. Psychonauts 1 was originally going to be published by Microsoft.
Wow.
Microsoft dropped it. It did later come out, published by Majesco, who is no longer around. And then, of course, a few years ago, Microsoft bought Double Fine, and all is well there, obviously. But yeah, it was Double Fine. So I stumped you both. We'll try again next week. And again, I welcome and encourage anybody to send in those trivia questions to unlocked@ign.com. Before we go, our first episode of the year here, Stella, I will throw it to you for anything you want to promote that you're up to, either on IGN or on your own channels.
Well, I have no idea what we're doing because this is my first day back at work. So let's see. So for things for me personally, this is the year that I'm trying to qualify for nationals for weightlifting or powerlifting with the USAA sanctioned meets. So yeah, if you want to follow my journey through that, you can follow me on Instagram at parallaxstella.official. And also, speaking of games coming out this year, we totally forgot that Final Fantasy 14 Online is coming to Xbox Series in spring.
Yes.
So. Yeah,
good shout. Cool.
Throwing that out there real quick so people don't get mad that we forgot.
Thank you for remembering. Forget.
I am stoked.
Yeah.
A good call.
Destin, how about you?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to all the great Game Pass games coming this month. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Resident Evil 2. We Happy Few's making a comeback. Seriously, though, not a ton to announce, really, for IGN stuff. Kind of getting back into the swing. You can check my YouTube out, youtube.com/Destin channel. That's it. That's all I got.
Awesome. I'm on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. DMC_Ryan is my username there. And our IGN first game for January that we're covering exclusively all month long is Dragon's Dogma 2. So if that one is of interest, check that out. We have 18 minutes of exclusive new gameplay up right now, and we'll have more exclusive bits dropping throughout the month of January. So don't miss that stuff. And with that, I'll say a big thank you to our super producer, Red, for making the episode happen. And a big thanks to all of you for joining us for another year of Podcast Unlocked. It's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to doing 50 or so shows for you, because we usually have a break at Thanksgiving, break at Christmas. So one down, 49 to go in a fun year. We will see you next week.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.